Okay, Ephesians chapter 4 this morning, please turn to verse 11. I'll be reading that in one moment, but we are continuing in our series, What is the Church and Why is it So Important? And today, the message has to do with the ministry of the local church, the ministry of the local church. And as we wind down in this series, We have two topics left after this, okay? The last topic is going to take a couple of more messages than just one. When we think of the worship of the church, we're going to spend a little bit more in that. But next week we're going to look at the discipline of the church, and then the last will be the worship of the church. That might take more than one message. But so far, we've seen the birth of the church, the essential ingredients. We've seen its construction. We've seen its names, the building, the body, the bride. We've seen its mission. And our mission is to do all to the glory of God and carrying out the Great Commission. We've seen the importance of membership. We've seen our distinctives, our polity, and last week we saw the leadership of the local church. Well, today we're going to look at the ministry of the local church. Now, the larger a church gets, the greater its needs. And this gives a greater opportunity for us to serve and minister. But sadly, friends, there are too many people who are content with just a spectator Christianity. And this is dangerous for any church and can be very deadly. We need to be willing to serve one another. So today, I'm not going to be preaching about every way you can minister, such as teaching or preaching or visiting or nursery or cooking or cleaning or mowing or etc., on and on. These are all important and these are all needed, okay? But I want to get down this morning to the nuts and bolts or the nitty-gritty of the ministry. There's a good theological term, nitty-gritty, okay? And Ephesians chapter 4, verse 11 and 12, the Bible says this, "And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." So why did God gift the church with the evangelist and the pastor and the teacher? For the perfecting of the saints, for the maturing of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So all of us, friends, every one of us here is involved in the ministry. And we have to understand that. I also want to simplify it and speak of the ministry of making disciples or the ministry of evangelism and edification. I believe that they are the two sides of the same coin. Okay, we evangelize and we edify. One is ministering to those outside these doors, and that's evangelism. The other is ministering to those inside these doors. That's edification. One builds up the church quantitatively. That's evangelism. The other builds up the church qualitatively. That's edification. And all of us need to be involved in both. Ministering without evangelism and ministering within edification. Now our text today, and once we turn here, we will not be moving at all. Turn to Matthew chapter 28. The Great Commission, the last words of the Lord before he leaves earth and ascends back into heaven. Notice with me verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the name of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now notice with me first the authority in this command. This is a command. Jesus, the all-powerful one, is commanding us all. And Jesus came, verse 18, and spake unto them, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. The King of kings and Lord of lords, the all-powerful one, has commanded us to do this. And one day, all of us will have to stand before God and answer for this commission. Okay? All of us. Go ye therefore. And that's the ministry I want to talk about today. And again, I do not want to downplay the ministry of the maintenance of this building, and the ministry that is involved in helps and things. I do not want to downplay that. They are vitally important. But friends, we are in the last days. And I believe the Lord is coming soon. And there are still people who need to hear. And we need to see the urgency of the hour. This is not a suggestion. The Lord didn't suggest we do this. He commanded. It is not for the chosen few. Now, it is true that not everyone gets called to a foreign land like our missionaries on the backboard. That's true. But everyone is called to go out those doors. This is for all believers. It is a every member ministry of our local church. So notice with me verse 19, the ministry of evangelism. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Evangelism. Teach all nations. Now that word teach in the Greek, in the original language, has the idea of making disciples. Okay? It is leading, it's literally leading someone to Christ. We could use the term soul winning. Okay? How do you make a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ? By leading him to Christ. So this speaks of evangelism. And friends, this takes place outside these church walls and doors. Now I want to say something, and I want to say something very carefully. But the church is not for the unbeliever. The church is for the believer. Now, that does not mean we do not invite folks to church. But they will probably, if they're unsaved, feel very uncomfortable. Because the church is for the believer. This is where we come as the body of Christ to worship, to be edified, to be built up, so we can go back out there into the world and fight for another few days and come back and be built up and go out and fight and come back. See the pattern? That's we grow through this. So teaching all nations takes place outside these doors. And the first thing we need to be aware of is to do this, we need to be empowered. And how are we empowered to do that? By being filled with the Holy Spirit. You cannot evangelize in the flesh. Well, you could, but it won't be successful. But we need to be filled with the Spirit. We need to be led of the Spirit. And this also, when we do it in the Spirit's power, calms our fears. You may say, I'm afraid to share the gospel. That's because you're not Spirit empowered. You're allowing your flesh to take over. You're allowing your fears to take over. So we need to be filled with the Spirit of God as we go out these doors in our evangelistic effort. How else do we do this? By being an example. Living, friends, like a child of God. As we go outside these doors, not only are our words important, but our lifestyle is important. Our actions are important. What we do, what we say, how we live, where we go, where we don't go, what we do. We need to live like a child of God. Our walk must match our talk. Now, that does not mean we go outside and every day we, you know, go to work in a suit and a tie. Okay? That would have been very foolish for me, you know, as an auto mechanic. Although I do see pictures from the old days, gas station attendants with ties on and things like that. Glad we don't live in those days anymore. But anyway, understand, our walk has to match our talk. And far too many Christians, people know they're Christians, and their testimony does not match. Their life does not match their testimony. They live like the world. And there's no difference. And there needs to be that distinction. We need to be an example. We also evangelize by biblical education. And what do we mean by that? We need to share with people God's word. Outside these doors, the world is getting more and more biblically illiterate. They don't know much anything about the Bible. And we need sometimes, like the Apostle Paul did, take them all the way back to the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. There are people out there that do not know that God is the creator. So we need to biblically educate them. We need to share God's word with them. Friends, people do not need to hear my opinion. People do not need to hear my ideas. When we're talking about witnessing, people need to hear God's word. So our Bible tracts need to be saturated with the Bible. Or maybe you give booklets. Make sure they're biblical booklets. I know one booklet that we like to give out here is the little book called Done. It's a great book to give out. It's biblical. If you're giving a book to somebody, make sure it's a biblical book written by a good author. Because, friends, there's a lots of Christian things out there that aren't very Christian. And, of course, you can never go wrong by giving somebody a Bible. Biblical education. How else do we evangelize outside these walls? By encouraging people. By encouraging people. What do we mean by that? Don't tear them down because of their beliefs. Okay? Maybe you know somebody out there and they may have a different belief. Don't tear them down, share the truth. I'm not saying don't expose error, but don't bash somebody's religion. Share with them the truth. The only way to expose error is to know the truth. Don't seek to convert somebody to your political party. Because the way to get to heaven is not whether you're a Democrat, Republican, or Independent. There's hell-bound Republicans. There's hell-bound conservative Republicans. That has nothing to do with it. Encourage them to believe, period. Encourage them to believe, period. Maybe you're ministering to somebody and their lifestyle is not at all right. Encourage them to believe, period. And when they're saved and the Holy Spirit moves in, then God can deal with the sin in their life that needs to change. How else do we win people to the Lord? By embracing them. By showing them Christ's compassion. You know, it always seems to come up, and this week it came up amongst the pastors. All the times in the Bible, in the Gospels, when it said Christ was moved by compassion. We have to have compassion for people. We have to show people that we care, that we love them. How many of you here went to Pensacola Christian College? A few of you, okay? When you were down there, did you ever meet any of the Ruckmanites in their street evangelism? Right? You pull your car up to a stoplight and the car stops, and all of a sudden this pickup truck comes alongside you and all these people in suits jump out. They run around your car with plaques and they say, "You're going to burn and go to hell if you don't trust in Christ." And they throw in tracts at you. They jump in the truck and they take off. That's not compassionate. Do you ever experience that? It's terrifying. Who are these lunatics? That's not how you evangelize. You have to show people Christ's love. And you have to show them, and you have to embrace them. People don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. So friends, show compassion. Sometimes that's tough. Sometimes it's difficult. But how else do we seek to evangelize the world? Be eager to listen. Be eager to listen. Listen to their story. Because in listening to their story, you get to know them, and then you can find ways that you can minister to them. And show them by your actions that it's not a burden to listen. Sometimes we're impatient here. "Hey, how you doing?" "Well, you know, let me tell you, brother." "Oh, you know," and then you just ask me, "How am I doing?" Do you really care? Be eager to listen. Be earnest. What do we mean by this? Be serious. When you are sharing the gospel, be serious. It's a serious matter. That's not the time for levity. You know, you know me. I love to laugh. I love to make people laugh. And I love when people laugh at me, with me, all that stuff. I love that. But you know, when you're talking about somebody's soul, that's the time to be real serious. And then lastly, by enduring. Because all of this takes what? Time. now, maybe you'll be blessed and maybe you'll knock on a door one day and the Lord has been working on that person's heart. And you know, they're just waiting, and you knock on the door and you tell them what you're there for, and they say, "What must I do to be saved?" That is the exception to the rule. Most of the time you have to spend a lot of time with somebody. And sometimes it takes a long time for somebody to be saved. But continue to endure. Now, friends, there are many ways that this can be done. But it all involves a personal touch. And most of us were led to the Lord that way, by a personal touch. Maybe you were saved in a large church meeting. Maybe you were saved by simply reading a tract, but somebody either had to give you that tract or place that tract. But it takes a personal touch. You know, getting involved in the lives of unsaved people who are outside these walls. Who was Jesus friends with? Sinners and publicans. Who did Jesus eat with? Sinners and publicans. Who did the Pharisees eat with? Other Pharisees. Who did the Pharisees lead to the Lord? They were the blind leading the blind, and they both fell in the ditch. So friends, we need to be careful when we need to do this, and we need to understand biblical separation, but at the same time, we need to get involved in people's lives. Have your unsaved friends over for dinner. Have a barbecue. Invite them to do something. Some examples of how we can evangelize. There's door-to-door. You can knock on doors. You can talk to people about the Lord that way. Personal contacts. Neighbors across the fence. We're getting to know our neighbors. In between our backyard with the person that lives behind us, there's this huge peach tree that has like a lot of peaches on it. They're only about this big now. There's high bush blueberries. And the neighbors come and pick that. The deer eat it too. The deer. I've seen more deer in Franklin than I have in Hill. And usually they're in our backyard eating peaches and blueberries. So, But personal contacts. Get to know your neighbors. Visit people. Share meals. Share coffee. Take them out to a diner. Share car rides with people. You know, maybe you're going somewhere, share a car ride with them. Get involved in some sports teams. We go to work. Well, maybe some of us work from home now, but you know, in work, waitresses. Make sure you not only just leave a track, but talk about a track. And I have found something, and I don't do this enough, and I need to start doing this more. But I was out with a pastor one time, and when the waitress delivered the meal, he said, "We're going to pray for this meal now. And I'd like to know, is there something that you would like us to pray for you for?" Get involved in people's lives. You never know who that person's serving you, what trouble they're going through. Professionals, we all go to dentists and I know it's hard to talk to the dentist. It's hard, you know, but you know, you could leave a track, you know. Sometimes this can be uncomfortable. And a lot of times this stretches us. But this is how the church is built. Quantitatively, we're seeing our church grow in numbers. So, for every one of us, it is commanded of the Lord to minister outside these doors, because there's a lost, dying world out there. And if you rely on just your pastors to reach those people, it will never happen. because you know people that I don't know, and you know people that the person sitting next to you doesn't know, and on and on and on. Evangelism. Second point, verse number 20, edification. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Teaching them to observe all things. Now, the word teaching here is different than the word teach in verse 19. The word teach in verse 19 is the word to make disciples. The word teaching here in verse 20 is instruction. And so this is now our edification. Someone is saved now. And now they need to be discipled. They need to be edified. They need to be built up. They are brand new, born again Christians. They're babes. And think about it. When you went to school, you know, and you went to kindergarten, and you learned your ABCs and your 1, 2, 3s, and from those ABs, from the alphabet, we learn how to read every single word in the American language. And from the numbers 1 to 10, we learn how to do addition and count to whatever, you know, and learn to do addition. Then they really mess us up and they give us math that mixes numbers and letters. But that's, you know, that's for another day. But think about it. We need to learn to grow in our newfound faith. And people who come to know the Lord, they don't know anything. And that's wonderful because we have an opportunity as a church body to teach them and to see them grow. Friends, in so many churches, evangelism is missing. And there's a lot of churches that do evangelize, but in a lot of those churches, edification is missing. Discipleship is missing. We have to have both. We have to have both. This takes place with those inside these church walls. Now, I'm not saying it only takes place within these walls, because a lot of edification takes place outside these walls. Monday night Bible studies with the young people. And boy, every time I see those guys, I just wish I was a young people. But, you know, I can't go because I don't fit the qualifications. So I have to have a kid at home. Maybe I'll adopt. You want to live with us so I can go? So. Anyway, I digress. So, you know, but you understand, this takes place with those inside these walls. The church, friend, is for the believer. And this is where we worship. This is where we grow. And how do we do this? Same way, by being empowered, by being filled with the Holy Spirit, not led by the flesh. We need the Spirit's power to be able to disciple people by being an example. Now, we're being watched by other Christians. And if you're a discipler, the person you're discipling should be watching you as you mentor and disciple them, and they watch how you live. Live like a child of God. Your walk must match your talk. By biblical education, discipleship, and learning all these things that the Bible teaches. You know? And sharing truths that might be so familiar to us, but are so new to the new child of God. We love John 3:16. There are people out there who have no idea about that. Could you imagine the joy it would be of John 3:16 being brand new to somebody? Today, our memory verse started for our Sunday school for the last few weeks. It's 1 John 1:9. And Sandy said, you know, this is familiar, but just because it's familiar, let's see what it says. You know, And we need to understand that. By biblical education, by encouraging them, we need to encourage people in their newfound faith. Because friends, it can be scary. And as we disciple them, they realize that some of the things they're doing, their lifestyle is wrong. Some of the people that they're hanging with, they shouldn't be hanging with. And they're afraid. We need to encourage them. Because so many people, because they're not discipled, they get discouraged and they fall away. By embracing them. Show them again how much you love and care for them. Laugh with them. Cry with them. Mourn with them. Celebrate with them. Go to funerals. Go to weddings. Go to birthdays. Go to hospitals. Share life with them. Be eager to listen. Uh-oh. How you doing? Well, I got to go. Don't ask somebody how you doing if you don't have time to hear the answer. And then when they share with you, pray with them. Pray with them. Be earnest. Friends, we need to be serious when we're helping somebody with their Christian walk. And then, just like before, by enduring. It's a lifelong journey. When somebody becomes a Christian, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, it's a lifelong journey. And some of you here have been on that lifelong journey for a long time, and praise God for you. Don't stop growing. My dear friend, Pastor McCoy, I mentioned many times, he said, Christians are like vegetables. Some of them, it takes a long time to grow. You know, there are things that grow quickly and there are things that take a while. And a lot of times, and I know we talk about this at RU a lot of times we think of our own Christian experience and maybe, you know, you grew fast and things were just new and fresh. That's not everybody's experience. And we can't make our experience their experience. So how do we apply all this? Well, first off, notice this great promise at the end of Matthew 28. Lo, I am with you always. There is never a time that the Lord Jesus will not be with us, whether we're evangelizing or discipling. And there's never a place, even unto the end of the world. So wherever you go to share the gospel, he's there. Whether it's Hill, Franklin, Bristol, Alexandria, wherever it may be, he's there. Whether it's Johannesburg, South Africa, where the Kirby's are, Benin, Africa, where the Boutrous's are, he's there. Friends, people all around us are being ushered into a Christless eternity. And true believers are not being discipled and edified, so they are living defeated Christian lives. Do we even care? We should, because the Great Commission was the last words the Lord Jesus spoke before ascending back to heaven. Think about that, the last words. So, we must show interest in others, the lost and the believer. We must make intercession for others, the lost and the believer. There must be intervention for others. Practical help to reach the lost and for the brethren. There must be involvement with others. Getting dirty with the lost and the brethren. There must be sensitivity toward others, sympathy and compassion must be shown to the lost and to the believer. And there must be support for both the lost and the believer. Friends, God has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. God has given to us the gospel. He has made us ambassadors to reach the world outside these doors. And He has given us the ministry of edification to encourage and build each other up and to fellowship. We need to be doing that. But it means being involved in people's life. And sometimes it's uncomfortable. Sometimes it's smelly. Sometimes it's dirty. But we need to go. Making disciples through evangelism and edification brings glory to God. And that's what we're to do, bring glory to God. Father, help us to understand the importance of this. It is not your desire that any should perish. And you loved us so much that you sent your only begotten Son, God the Son, to put on flesh, to die in our place, to take our wrath. And He conquered death and rose again. And gave us a commission to go ye into all the world. And we sit in our easy chairs. As friends, families, and neighbors all around us are plunged into a Christless eternity. Father, forgive us. Burden us for the lost. Give us a love for the lost that you have, not willing that any should perish. And Lord, if someone should not choose you and they go to hell, may it not be because we didn't tell them. And Lord, help us to edify and to build up the believers here in our own church. Help us to be concerned about them and help us to help them to grow and to be reconciled and to be fruitful. Lord, this takes time. This takes effort. And we fill our days with things that have no eternal value. Help us, Lord. Burden us. In Jesus' name.